open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open, 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet each other. Give each other a greeting. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Please be seated. I want to remind you again that your contribution records are in the lobby under strict security. They're sealed in a pneumatically sealed bottle from Funk and Wagner, and a la Johnny Carson. But I want to encourage you to pick those up in the lobby on your way out. And if you don't pick them up, we'll mail them to you. But love for you to do that. And then our men's prayer breakfast is going to be first Monday a week from tomorrow at Berry Fresh. Want to invite you to come and take part in that with us, and we'll have a great time of fellowship, break sausage together, and have a good time. So I want to encourage you to do that with us as well. And then our Bible study, want to encourage you to take part in our Bible study. I was real excited today about our Bible study. We had a tremendous discussion. One of our members, Mario, taught the class, and just some great insights. And we had a wonderful time, and praise the Lord for these small groups. And want to encourage you to take part in this, because it's an opportunity for you to grow, meet others, build relationships, and really feel a part of the family. Through the years, I've been pastoring for 32 years. Occasionally, we've had a person contact and say, you know, I missed church for several weeks, and no one contacted me, And we don't take attendance, you know, and I'll ask, are you in a small group? No, I don't, you know, do any of those things. And the best way to be accounted for, we have some of our life group leaders that'll contact every week those that don't come and see how they are, pray with them. And then when they're sick, our life groups will bring them meals and do a lot of care. And so I want to encourage you to really take part in that, because it's a great way to grow the fellowship, grow the body, and to grow your life. It's life groups are designed for discussion. It's not monologue. It's teaching and interaction and opportunities to ask questions And so I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then our men's and ladies' Bible studies are starting this afternoon. And want to encourage you to come and take part in those today at 4:45. Crazy love for the men. We're on chapter 6 if you want to read it this afternoon if you haven't already. And we're going to come and discuss that together. The ladies are 12 women of the Bible. They're looking at Mary. When Clara was a little baby girl, she had just taken a bath, and she was like 2 years old. She came in with a hand towel wrapped around her face, and she said, "Hello, I'm Mary, Mother of God." And she was stark naked from there down and said, well, somehow the picture breaks down here, you know. But they're looking at Mary tonight and going to have a good study together. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then tickets for, I'm really excited about our Valentine banquet this year. It's different. It's love in the country. We're having a luncheon, and you're to dress hoedown. And we've actually got square dancers from our church that are taking lessons, and they're going to be, so we're going to pray for them not to fall down and have a great time together. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And then also, Super Bowl party coming up at the Cobos, and there's information in here about that. Want to encourage you to take part in that. And then our Wednesday nights, devotion and dinner, youth, Awanas, and those other ministries. Want to encourage you to look into those as well and take part in them. And if you're today our guest, we'd like to invite you to just take this little form in the cell, tear it off, fill it out, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you better. And praise the Lord for you being here. God bless.
And gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful to be in this place amongst your saints and to hear your word spoken and praise, Father. We ask, too, that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Father, just the precious filling of your Holy Spirit, Father, because we long to be near you and for you to show us your ways. Father, we love you and praise you and ask that you bless this offering and those who offer it to you and the message that you laid on Pastor's heart, Father. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to dismiss children for children's choir with Miss Julia. Let's give Julia a big hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All righty. I don't think I prayed earlier, did I? I'm getting older, but we can pray again. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and invite you, dear God, to continue to meet with us. Thank you for your presence here during our time of attempting to honor you. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be glorified today. You speak to our hearts. So illuminate your word. And Father, just speak to my heart, all our hearts, and correct us, convict us, instruct us, encourage us. And dear God, I just want to ask you, please, by the end of this year, to help us have 1,000 people here worshiping you. And I do pray also, dear God, that you would allow us this year to raise over $1 million toward our debt. And we just supernaturally ask you to intervene, speak to hearts in both ways. We pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts to bear witness to your Son, to share your gospel with others. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about bringing you a series of messages on giving. And then Kim said, why don't you preach a series of messages on love? We're going up to Valentine's Day. And as you can see by the title of our message, Love Won Out. So we're going to look at love for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Next week, 1 Corinthians 13. And then after that, talk about our relationships and love with our relationships. Love is very important. In fact, really, it's one of the most important things on earth in our spirituality, in our walk with Christ, in our understanding of God. In fact, when the disciples asked Jesus in prophecy to tell us what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age, he went through around 30 different evidences in Matthew 24, and one of them centered directly around love. And I want to share that one with you. He tells them in the passage that in verse 12. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And so he says one of the prophecies of the end of the age is people's love growing cold. Love toward what? Love toward God. Love toward each other. A hardness coming in. And it's linked also to lawlessness. And we are living in an antinomian, anti-law age. And we're seeing it. Now, I want to encourage all of you. I love you, and I want you to live a long time till the rapture, till Jesus comes back. So when you're coming up to all of these intersections, look both ways, because people are not observing the lights like they used to. Can I hear an amen? And so look both ways. We lost one of the teachers that used to teach in our school just here in Jensen when a Tesla doing 100 miles an hour bombed them like a missile and sent both she and her husband into eternity in a split second in an intersection on their anniversary. So this idea of lawlessness and then linked to lack of love and the waxing of love, love growing cold. Now, love is very, very important. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the first three verses, we see three different statements, and it begins in the very first one, and he did leave his drumsticks, and it says that if you do what you do there without love, you become like a gong or like a cymbal. And what is that? That just means that you're just a bunch of noise. That, you know, you're just making a noise and that it's not really carrying with it the weight that it has. And of course, people all the time say, I don't care what you know until I know that you care. And the idea that we love them and express love to them, and that is the thing that breaks down everything, hard hearts, unbelieving hearts, when we exhibit love. In 1 Corinthians, the next two verses, verses 2 and verses 3, it says, talks about knowledge and all faith, and then it says, but you do not have love, you are nothing. You are nothing. And then in verse 3, if you are a super giver and you're giving to the poor and you're sacrificing everything and you don't have love, it profits you nothing. So giving without love is nothing. Knowledge and prophecy, preaching the word of God without love is vain. It's useless. And then it can be like a gong banging or cymbals ringing if you don't have love. And so today I'd like for us to look at several aspects of love. There's three different types of love from the Greek language. And so we're going to look at those today. The first one is represented by the word eros, and we get erotic from it, and we think of sexual love, and that's the phraseology people have used forever is to make love, and the idea of that. Now, it's interesting that in the first century, that word, the erotic word eros, was so tainted. And even like it carries with it now, some of you may say, did the pastor say erotic? Did the pastor say eros? You know, and it carries with it the idea of you know, something dirty, unclean, perverted sometimes, and that type of thing. But it carried with it such a stigma that the Greek word eros, that word, the most basic sensual aspect of love, is not even mentioned in the New Testament. But the concepts related to it are in the confines of marriage. And so I'd like for us to look at those together, a couple of those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, we see a passage that maybe many of the men here are going to memorize, quote to their wives, some kind of thing like that. And so here the Apostle Paul said, now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. They probably won't memorize that verse. But because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty to the wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. And this is talking about the physical aspect of love and marriage. And that's the duty that it's talking about, that there is a responsibility. I've had people in counseling say, we haven't been involved with each other for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And I've got to tell you, unless there's just absolute physical problems, that's sin. That's sin. You know, God intended, this is the Marriage Act, as Tim and Beverly LaHaye described in their Christian wedding marriage book, The Act of Marriage, is an idea that God designed, and it's based on marriage, and it's a beautiful thing that he designed for the intimacy and the oneness of a couple, for them to be emotionally together. And so, let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and then come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so he's talking about God's provision. This is why it is unscriptural for the priesthood of Catholicism to be celibate. It is unscriptural. You know, and it's, look at the problems it's had. It's been a stain and an absolute cancer on the Catholic Church in recent revelations in the last few decades, worldwide, for ages. For ages. And so here we see this aspect of erotic love described in Scripture by the Apostle Paul, who was not married, never involved, I believe for certain died a virgin. And he said, I've chosen this because this is the path God's called for me. And he did say that it is a superior path if a person can do it, and can do it without sinning, without lusting, without being involved in erotic sin. That you said you serve the Lord singularly, he's the focus of your life, and that aspect. So if you wanted to use that for Catholicism, I guess you could with the celibacy of the priesthoods. But for the most part, the Scriptures say that God designed for us to be married, and this is his design and plan. That is why the first Pope Peter was married, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And you don't get a mother-in-law without a wife. So we see the first Pope was married, Peter. And so here we've got this in Hebrews 13:4. The Scripture said, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and idolaters God will judge. He didn't say that he might. He said he will judge the lustful who do not participate in sexual activity in God's plan. And God's plan is marriage. God's plan is there's to really only be sexual activity within marriage. Not with adultery, not with fornication. And the Greek word porneia is the Greek word for fornicator, and we get pornography from that word. And porneia means any sexual sin. It could be anything. And it's a general term that describes a lot of things. And so here we see this aspect. Now, in this, we see from these two passages that marriage is to be, there's to be the sexual activity, the intimacy in marriage that God designed. And it's not to be withheld just necessarily for headaches, but for maybe physical problems. And it's the abstinence is only really in the Scriptures considered for a time of prayer. We're not going to be involved with each other as we pray together or fast and pray, and as we seek God's face together. But then we are going to be coming back together again. And it is a very powerful thing. I mean, when you think about what God designed, and God designed it, it's amazing. And so we see this eros. Now, so you can be relieved, we're going to move on to philos, brotherly love, familial love. Philos, the city of Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love, or it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. That's what the term means. Philos is the type of love that's a term for affection, brotherly love. Now, if you've got your Bible, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we see the word philos. Now, I'm going to hit a passage in a minute that is really going to straighten out for you that you probably had trouble with, trouble understanding if you've just read the English Bible your whole life. And these next two terms are going to straighten that passage out for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God says, and that is actually the term in that is philos. It's the idea of this type of love, the brotherly love, the affectionate love, the familial love that of strong friendship can be. And then we see in John 11, 3, and then in verse 36. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And this was Lazarus. And the Bible talks a great deal in the Synoptic Gospels about Jesus' love for Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the type of love it's describing there is philos love, familiar love, deep friendship, close bonds, a strong feeling between them. So when we look at this, we see that God says in these references, and then verse 36 of the same chapter, and so the Jews were saying, behold how he loved him. Because the shortest verse in the New Testament, Jesus wept, relates to Jesus' love for Lazarus when he died, when he physically died. And yet he knew he was going to resurrect him, but he still cried. And part of it was the grief of the sisters, the whole setting. Death is hard, as many, many of you know here, almost everyone here. Death is hard. And the Lord Jesus had such an empathy that he expressed his familial love for the family in their time of sorrow, separation, grief, and death. And so we see in Scripture this term relating to philos. And then also there's a strengthening of this term. In the Greek New Testament, there's also the term philos storge. Storge is a strengthening of it, and it's like best friend, BFF, best friends forever. It's the idea of your closest friend, your dearest friend. I've had a number of dear friends in the life of our church. Nick Bennett would have been one of my very closest. And I woke up 3 o'clock about 4 or 5 days ago in the morning. I was thinking of all the Nickisms, all the crazy experiences I've had with him, and I was laughing in bed, you know, just thinking about Nick and missing him as a dear friend. And that would be philos storge. That would be the strengthened kind of brotherly love. In Romans 12:10, we see this particular term, Romans 12:10, for philos storge. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Here we see mixed with the brotherly love, devotion, preference, honor, relating to that kind of love, that deep, deep friendship love. I hope and pray. I've started a life group in the life of our church this summer, and I've been working hard to gather some of our dear newer people in the life of the church. And I'm exciting to see friendships occur. When we had a fellowship at one of the homes, they killed the fatted hog for us, and we had that. And to see everybody relating. And then we had our Christmas party. And then we had a fellowship last night. And to see this friendship, these relationships growing. And we want to at least have philos love between each other, but we would prefer for it to grow even beyond that. Now in John chapter 21, I want us to look at that together, John 21, and we're going to dwell in that for just a little bit. John 21, 15 through 17. And here we see a interchange and a transition between two terms, philos, the brotherly love, and then agape, the God love. And agape is an unconditional love. Agape is a love where God says it's almost like a contractual love, which can be stronger than any other. You know, the agape love is God says, I have fixed my love on you because I have decided to, and there's nothing you can do about it. Can I hear an amen? Agape love, unconditional love. Now, we would like to all have that kind of love, like in our marriage relationships. One of the great evangelists says marriage is like two ticks and no dog. You know, and the idea that this is going to be a 50-50 love, you know, and we're going to requite each other. You love me, I love you. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. You give me something, I'll give you something. And this quid pro quo type of relationship, and we think that would be great, you know, we're 50-50. No, that's not it at all. And that is never agape love. At best, that's philos love. It might be even less. And the idea is that we determine we're going to love supernaturally, which we don't have the capacity to do. We can't love people naturally with agape love. We don't have agape love. I believe as you look through scriptures, God has to give it to us. And this is where in our relationship, like he said earlier when we looked in Matthew, when he was talking about loving mother or father, brother or sister, son or daughter more than me, this idea of these types of family, this family love, and how we're to love him supremely. And for our kids, when they were growing up with us, and many of you have heard me say this many, many times, if you were to ask Shay or Josh, who does your dad love the most in the whole wide world? Your mother, Kim. And then say, no, dad loves Jesus the most. Who does your mother, does your mother love dad the most and your dad in the whole wide world? No, mom loves Jesus the most. And if you get it, if you get that right, if you put him first, if you love him the most, everything else will work out. It will. Everything else will work out. Your love for each other, husband and wife, your love for your children, your love for your neighbors, your love for people at work, your love for your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. Wow. That is foreign. And that is the exact opposite of the prophecy of Jesus, the love of many will wax cold. We wax cold when we respond to lawlessness and our hearts get hard and we close our emotions and we close ourselves down. And we're to watch that. Years ago, I had one of the deacons, Pastor Darrell, you know, be careful not to close your spirit. You know, when you close your spirit, it can be an intimidating thing. And I took that to heart. I think a lot about what he said. And the idea of the love of many waxing cold in the last days, we want to avoid that. When you have a supernatural love, there's a moistness, there's a vibrancy, there's a padding to your life, there's a flexibility to your life. I'm getting older now. I've got a little bit of arthritis in both of my knees. They say not operational, thank God, but occasionally problematic, you know, a little bit painful sometimes. And it's the cushions between the socket and the ball and the joint. It's these cushions that are disappearing. My dad was woefully limping before he couldn't even walk anymore because he had lost all the padding there, all the flexibility in his knee, and it was swollen, and they said it's bone on bone. None of us want bone on bone. And you don't want that in your love. You don't want that in your relationship. You don't want that in your heart. You don't want to let your heart get bone on bone. Instead, you want there to be a padding, a shock absorber, a flexibility that only God can give. Now, let's look at this passage together. And here we see an interesting interaction between the Lord Jesus and Simon Peter. And he's talking to Peter about his ministry. He's talking to him about their relationship. And then he's talking also to John, to Peter and to John. And here it boils down to John. Verse 15, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, talking to Peter, do you love me more than these? And he's holding up fish, and Simon had been a fisherman, and fishermen love fish. And when he asked him, if you want to write this in your Bible, this is what makes the whole passage make sense. He says agape, a form of agape. Do you love me with the unconditional love of God? Do you love me, Peter, supremely? Do you love me with all your heart? That's the question. Do you love me more with that kind of love more than these fish? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Peter responds here, phileo. Jesus said, do you love me with agape? Jesus and Peter, who had denied Jesus, he was uncertain of his relationship with him. He said, Lord, you know I'm really fond of you. You know, you're my friend. Might even be saying you're my best friend. But his response, Jesus says agape, Peter responds phileo. And he said to him, well, tend my lambs, take care of my lambs, the younger believers. And then he said to him again, Jesus said this again to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And again, he said, agapao, agape. Do you love me with the supernatural love of God, the unconditional supreme love of God? And he said, and then Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you, that I love you as a friend, as a brother, that I'm fond of you. And then he said to him, well, then shepherd my sheep. One of them is you're to tend them, and the next one, he says, you're to shepherd them. And then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And at this point, he drops down, and Jesus asks him, do you phileo me? Agape, agape. Now Jesus descends to where Peter is talking and says, Peter, do you really love me as a friend? Are you really even fond of me? And then we see Peter's response when Jesus responds that way. And he says to him the third time, are you fond of me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And so here we see these two terms interchangeably, and we see Jesus' response to them. If Jesus were to ask each one of you today, each one of you individually, personally, like maybe I'll pray that at the end of the service, that he ask every one of you in your spirit the rest of the day or the rest of this weekend or this week, do you agape me? Do you love me with all your heart? Or are you just fond of me? I'm fire insurance. Thank God I'm not going to hell now. I'll go to church every other week, which is what most of Americans are doing now. They're doing like twice a month, 26 times a year, about every other week. The faithful ones. And, you know, in Scripture, God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And that's kind of diminutive, like some of them are doing it, but you shouldn't. Do you love him? I think I will pray that at the end of the service and ask God to speak to all of our hearts, me and you and all of us combined. But here we see this contrast of the two terms, phileo and agape. Agape is used to describe God's unconditional love. In one of our favorite verses, we're all going to say it together, John 3:16, on the count of three. One, two, three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so agaped the world. All of humanity, all 8.5 billion. He loves everybody, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. He loves us all with unconditional love. And that's why he allowed his perfect, holy, righteous, completely clean and pure Son to die as a sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. Then we see in Matthew 22, verse 37, another reference to agape. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is almost a definition of agape. To love with all your heart, the seat of your emotions, with all your mind, the seat of your will and your intellect, your calculations, your determinations, and your soul, your personality, your being, your very being. And love him with all those things, all of it, all your emotions, all your intentions, all of your personality. To love him like that. And that's what he wants. That's agape love, and that's coming from our direction. And then we see in John 13:34, another one. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. And here's an application for us in our relationships. We'll get into this in a couple of weeks. That we're to love each other with agape love. Now, in talking to people who visited, nowadays nearly everybody shops churches. They move to an area, we're trying churches, this one, that one, this one, that one. And thank God for them taking that effort, really, and being that conscientious about it. Now, I've run into people that say, you know, I moved here and I haven't found a church yet. Well, when did you move here? 11 years ago. Well, come on, how long does it take? You know, really? What? 11 years? We had Jay Strack, the evangelist, here once, and he said, when I was coming through the Smoky Mountains and through that region of the country, coming down through the Bible Belt to South Florida to pastor here, he pastored here years ago, he said, I looked on the mountain ranges as I was descending, coming down toward Florida, and I saw white things everywhere strewn all over the mountains. And then I realized they were people's church letters, where they were throwing their letters out the window and say, well, we're leaving where we've been all our life. We don't have to commit to church anymore. We don't have to serve Christ anymore. We're retiring, and retiring from Jesus. No, it should never be that way. It should never be that way. It should always be, I want to serve him. I want to live for him. I want to love him. And here we see in this particular passage, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now, when we're talking to people that say, I've visited, you know, three churches. I've had people say five churches, six churches. And I've had some say, you're the only church where people said anything to me. You're the only church. Now, I want to encourage you. In fact, I'm going to really try to intentionally encourage you that when we do our greeting with each other on Sundays, that you look for somebody you don't know and fist bump or shake hands or whatever you're doing and greet them. Somebody you don't know. We all tend to go to the familial, to our friends, people we already know, and they already know that we're glad they're there. But to seek out, now I've been so encouraged, you're doing it, but let's do it on steroids. Let's do it more. And when people come, they say, they really, really want me here. They really, really want me to worship Jesus with them, to serve God with them, to be a part of it. One of our families, a young family that hadn't been around for a while, and they've started coming back again and acclimating back into church. The man was talking to me a few Sundays ago after the service. He said, Pastor, when's the next mission trip? He said, I want to go and be your bodyguard. And this is a big dude, bigger than me. I would love to have him as my bodyguard. And he said, I'll carry stuff for you. And, you know, that I've had some of you do that on some of our trips. And but the idea is we're to love like Jesus loves us. Love each other like Jesus loves us. That means don't be critical of each other. Don't chew on each other. Don't run each other down. Encourage and strengthen. You can do it. You can do it. I'm behind you. I am with you. I will help you. And to encourage one another like Jesus does with us. We're to love like he loves us. And this is what he's saying here. And so next Sunday we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Your homework is to read it this week. Read it, if you can, every day. What a great chapter to key in on. And we'll look at it next Sunday. So three types of love, eros, philos, and agape. And we want to really key in our lives, our relationships, our church function, our ministry, agape, the love of God, and express that to one another. And every person that walks in here, you just take it on yourself. I am now deputizing you as the welcome committee, all of you. And a person comes in, and especially if you're in life groups, you should come to my life group. I'd love to see three or four different either members or leaders meeting someone saying, come to mine, grab them by both arms and pulling on them. Come mine. You know, you're wanted. You're wanted here. And even if they aren't buffed up real well, this is South Florida. One evangelist once said he was thankful. Some of the women were talking about girls coming not dressed properly and all that. And he said, I thank God they had clothes on. This is South Florida. You know. But We just want to encourage you to love and express the love of God in a supernatural way. I'll close with this story. In my first church, we started with 12 people, 10 senior adults, alcoholic sound man and his wife. And to grow the church, I started knocking on doors in a very depressed neighborhood, Miami Gardens, down in Hollywood. Very rough area. The church was behind Hubcap Heaven, and it was not heaven. And I'm knocking on doors, and I start winning some young families to Christ and invite them to church. And we had two gatekeepers at the church, two of the older women. They were very old. And one of them drove a gigantic yellow Cadillac. I'll never forget the Sunday that she was turning in off of 441 and almost ran a cop off the road. He followed her to the parking lot, and I'll never forget Miss Mack saying, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And the cop stand there and said, "Lady, you almost killed me with this battleship this morning." And she talked him out of the ticket, and I said, "She means well. She just is struggling to get here, but she comes, you know." Well, Mabel and Myrtle were the prudence committee for Gardens Baptist Church. And these young women come, they'd say, "Honey, I'm glad you're here, but you dress like a hussy. you gotta change, you know. You're not dressed right to be here, you know." And I couldn't get them to come back. So Kim and I started a Bible study in our home, and I started just inviting the couples to our home. We got up to about six or seven couples, young couples. And I said, "Next Sunday, we're going to meet at church. We're going to be a new life group. And I just want to warn you about Mabel and Myrtle." And I said, "They are going to probably say something to some of you." Well, now that they were coming as a group, it became a joke for them. And I said, "They're godly women. They love the Lord, you know, and you need to really respect them, but just grain of salt, okay?" And so they all said, "Okay, good." And so sure enough, Mabel and Myrtle hit one or two of them, but they all laughed about it. And that class became an engine of the church and started really growing. And we got to a point at that little church, we're baptizing about 100 people a year. And it was exciting. But let's do it again. Let's do it right now. Let's do it here. And let's express the love of God. And if people are not dressed properly, you know, buy them a dress or buy them something, you know. Be generous about it, okay? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to pour your Spirit out upon us. And Father, if there be anyone here that does not know you, doesn't know you personally, please, Almighty God, knock at their heart's door today. If they're watching by Facebook, YouTube, listening by the radio, knock at their door. Please, dear Lord, I know you want it more than I do. Knock at their door. Give them the grace to open it. And I'd like to invite you right now to just, if the Lord's knocking at your heart's door, to just say, "Oh, dear Lord Jesus, please cleanse me and forgive me. Come into me. Take control of me. Make my body your temple. Lord, I love you. And I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen." So we're going to extend our invitation like we do every Sunday right now, and want to invite you to do business with God. Now listen to me. If he knocks at your heart door and lays something on your heart, please obey him. It might be to get us to pray for you about something. It might be a praise, something you want to praise Jesus about publicly that you want to share. And what a joy that is. Don't deprive us of your joy. Or maybe, you know, he's speaking to you about being a part of our church, local New Testament church. We had one dear lady, a brand new sister in Christ here, watched us three times on Facebook, said, I got to go there, came and joined that Sunday. She didn't look around for 11 years. And she's now in the choir. Praise God. Let's give her a hand. Amen. So just want to encourage you to do business with God and do what he tells you to do. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. And I want to remind you again about our Bible studies. If you haven't signed up, there's some sign-up sheets in the lobby. And then tickets for our country Valentine luncheon together. And I want to encourage you to accumulate some of those on your way out as well. And take the sales and use them to invite people. And then also, we've got some of the gospel tracts that I've written that are in the track rack there in the lobby on the way out. If you need some of those, I want to encourage you to avail yourself of some of those, okay? Kim?
Is this Gene Kibbe?
Kim, you going to stand with Gene Kibbe? Okay, good. Gene, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yes.
How old were you?
3 years old.
And then you were baptized at 38 years old, is that correct?
Well, baptized as an infant, and then at 38 years old again.
Amen, amen. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Gene as the Lord lays her in her heart? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Are y'all ready? This is Marilyn with Beverly. And Marilyn, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
I have, absolutely.
And you've followed the Lord in believer's baptism?
Yes.
Yes. And you desire to be a part of our fellowship?
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. How many of you make a commitment to pray for Marilyn? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to encourage y'all after we dismiss to come by and express your love to these and give them a greeting. John, can you come dismiss us in prayer? John's going to be teaching our class in a few weeks, and y'all pray for him for that. Amen. Are you touched right now?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. Amen.
Mostly, I don't need this. I'm kind of loud.
No, go ahead. Use it.
Mainly.
We have hearing impaired.
Mainly just, you know, for years we were told that we wouldn't be able to have another kid, but in November we found out my wife was pregnant again.
Praise God. Amen. That's great.
And, you know, when we found out, my wife was like, you know, doctors kept telling us that, you know, it wasn't possible. And I just keep reminding her, you know, doctors are people too, as well-meaning as they are, and as much information as they have, and what they see from their experience, you know. God has the final say.
Amen.
So, sorry, I'm kind of emotional, but it's, you know, 8 years of hearing no. And then finally getting a yes is just really huge for both of us.
That's great. Amen. Praise God.
So, sorry, I'm emotional, but.
No, that's good.
Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for all that you do for us here and my family and all the families in here. Father, I pray that you would just continue to bless us and bless this church. Father, I pray that you bless us not only in numbers, but in people who truly want to know you.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we're so thankful for the growth here, and we're thankful for the new property. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us be able to contribute to that, Father, whether it be by money or time or resources, Father. We're so thankful for the opportunities you give us to serve you, Father, and we pray that you would multiply those opportunities, Father God. Lord, thank you, and thank you for all that you do, Lord. We're undeserving, but you care for us and you love us, and Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts this week and help us dedicate more of our time to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education.
At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.